good evening. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 9 this evening. And we're going to be reflecting on these words that Paul writes. I have referenced this first passage many times, and I felt like it was time to go ahead and get into it in a little bit. When you go to a foreign land, it's always good to know the laws. Don't know if you catch up on the new, if you're caught up on the news or not, but two German backpackers received a fine of $1,000, and they were officially escorted out of Venice and no longer allowed to visit Venice again. All because they wanted a cup of coffee. See, they were backpacking through Europe, and they decided that they wanted a cup of coffee on one of these bridges, and they sat down and set up their little portable oven or portable fireplace and made themselves a cup of coffee. Well, the law in that area is they have put in place back in May, they put in place this truancy law where they didn't want people to do these kind of things. So it's always good to know the law that when you're visiting. There's some outrageous laws in different places. There's laws such as no chewing gum. You know, they put in an ordinance years ago in different places that if you chew bubble gum, they don't like that. Why? Because where does bubble gum end up going? Oftentimes, people spit it out and it ends up on the concrete and it becomes a nuisance. The law is always there to prevent things from happening or to help prevent things from happening. Why do we have a speed limit law? To prevent people from speeding. What's the big deal with people speeding? Well, when you're going too fast, you end up not able to stop, or you lose control of your vehicle and you can cause an accident. So there's good reasons to have laws. Paul writes these words in Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful blessings that you've given us. We thank you for the gift of the opportunity to know you through Christ Jesus, the Spirit that you have given us to see you more clearly and to understand what you are wanting of us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I used to be a big Microsoft guy. In fact, when people would come to me talking about Apple products, it bothered me. I mean, it completely irritated me because I like Microsoft. I was dead set that Microsoft was the best. I liked Word. I liked all the products that Microsoft put out. I even had a lot of the products. I bought a tablet, Microsoft Surface tablet. I had a computer. I had a Microsoft phone-based Windows phone. My in-laws bought me a Microsoft band for my birthday one time. I liked Microsoft, and I was convinced that Microsoft would one day come back around and start beating Apple. I have an iPad now. I have an iWatch now, and I kind of like Apple a little bit better than I like Microsoft. And it all started because Microsoft's gadgets started having problems, and it wasn't what I had bought into. But I remember those early days when people would come to me and talk about, oh, my Apple, excuse me, oh, my iPhone, oh, this, oh, that. And I would just sit back and say, you guys are just fooling yourself. You don't know what you're talking about. Those products are worthless. Because I was an outsider looking in. So often in our day today, people look inside the church and they don't understand what the church really has to offer them, what the Spirit really has to offer them, the freedom that we have in Christ. Why is that? You know, I have been around people for my 40 years, and I tell you, when a person has lived their life as a spiritual person, as a God-centered person, the closer they get to their last days, the freer they seem to be. They're not worried about what's to come. They're looking forward to what's to come. They're eagerly anticipating of getting rid of this shell and to be free and to be in the presence of God. They're not consumed about the concerns of this age. And they are focused on their walk in the Spirit. You can often look at their Bibles. I love when when a family comes to me and getting ready for a funeral or whatever, I always ask them, bring your family member the Bible. I want the Bible. I want someone to read out of their Bible. Find the verse that's highlighted. Find something that they marked on. Find a verse that you know is special to them and read out of their Bible and make that a part of the funeral. Why? Because it makes them a part of the funeral too. That was their manual for life, their basic instructions, as the Bible is implied to be. It is our basic instructions for leaving this earth. And the older you get, the more you put trust in this book, isn't it? You trust it now more than you trusted when you were younger. You see it more clearly now than you did when you were younger. It's true. So often people see more clearly the closer they get to home than they do when they first get here or focus on themselves. I like how the Young Literal Translation translates this section of Scripture. The first verse, it says, there is then now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But it's interesting, the Young Translation goes into a little bit more of a translation with this. It says, who walk not according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. You don't see that in all the other translations. It's interesting that he translates this passage this way, because it's almost like putting it in a conditional form. He's saying there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but he's also saying as long as you walk not by the Spirit, as long as you walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. You see, other translations do translate this passage as those who belong to Christ. What does it mean to belong to Christ? Well, when you belong to Christ, that means you do as He says and as He wants. Well, how do we get those marching orders? Right here. They're right here in this book. And they're also given to us through the conditions of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 goes on in the Young's translation, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus did not set me free from the law of sin and of death." See, we are still under the law, because the law has brought us to understanding of one day we will leave this existence. But the law, what the law does also teach us, there's something more to come. And that is the Spirit. In Christ Jesus, we have eternal life. We have the opportunity to know where we're going from here. We can look forward to something greater that is to come. Are you eagerly anticipating what's to come in Christ? Are you looking forward to that? Verse 3 in the Young translation goes on, Young's literal translation, "For what the law was not able to do, in that it was weak through the flesh." What made it weak? We did. The law is perfect. If you look at the law of God, it is perfect in every way. It is a law to live by. That is why a lot of cultures base their laws off of the Ten Commandments. We base our system of government off of the Ten Commandments. Why? Because the law is perfect. But what happens is we can't measure up to that law, the perfection of it. You know, we look at the rules and simply say, "I follow the rules." But do you understand the spirit of the law that God intended for us to see? The spirit wasn't just simply do not commit adultery, do not murder. That wasn't the law. That was the rule. The law is have sanctity for life. Make sure you see how precious life is. Have a concern for the health of marriage. In our culture today, it's a shame that we praise more divorces than we do anniversaries. There's commercials that I hear on the radio from time to time about this lawyer saying that if you want a divorce, I'm your divorce attorney. I'm the one to hire. Men, if you're looking for your court date, call me. That's a shame that someone wants to profit off of the failure of a marriage. And so when you look at the spirit of the law, we have to understand that God wants us more to understand His concerns for mankind. Not just our concerns for mankind, but His concerns. God wants us to see who He is through the law. God, His own Son, having sent in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, did condemn the sin in the flesh. See, Jesus demonstrated to us how to live according to the law. Was He accepted for that or rejected? If you look at His life, He was condemned. For what purpose? For being a good man? For being a threat to the powers that be? Because He fulfilled all prophecies. What the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled, that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We have a choice in our existence of this world. We have a choice to live for our flesh, live for our own desires, live for our own sake, our own name, or live for God. One has an eternal plan. The other is going to be here for today and gone tomorrow. For those who are according to the flesh, the things of the flesh do mind, and those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death. God Himself said early on in the book of Genesis that everything that humans desire is sin. You ever thought about what our world looks like? A few years ago, they had, well, actually, it's been more than a few years ago. It's been a while now. They had at the North American, or the North American Missionary Convention, they had some folks that were ministering in the Muslim country, and they came in and they talked about their grievances, the Muslim country's grievances with America, how we promote pornography in our movies. That can be said, that can be true, that is said, how we promote abortion in our families, how we promote all these other sinful behaviors. In all that we say and do, we say, to God be the glory. You ever watch some of those award shows? How they praise God for doing great things when they sing the songs that are not good for Christian ears? Or they play the part in a movie that is, well, not good for Christian eyes. But yet they still praise God for the opportunity to win an award. For what purpose? Jesus said, "The eyes are the light, are the lamp of the body. If nothing but darkness comes in, then only darkness is inside you." In our day and age, the movies that the kids are watching, the video games that kids are playing, the music people are listening to, not much light there. A lot of darkness. It's scary. We must turn our eyes on Jesus. And we must show that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We must live according to the Spirit that He has placed in us, that He has given us. And those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, and the mind of the Spirit, life and peace. That sounds great, doesn't it? And that's what a Christian should be seeking, is to bring people to peace. Peace with themselves and peace with God. Because when they have peace with God, they should have peace for themselves as well. We have a lot of people in our age and in our life and in our area right now. Did you know that Zephyr Hills has a nickname? Anybody know it? I didn't know it until I moved here. And after I moved here, my wife and I was out to eat, and I asked the waitress, and she said she lived in Wesley Chapel. She commutes here to work, and she was telling me that she looks forward to getting out of here because of the drug problems here. And I said, "Really? There's a drug problem here?" And she says, "Oh yeah. There's Zephyr Hills has a nickname. Methan Hills." Whoa. Because of the meth problems that have here. And when you buy or when you pick up one of those local free papers, you open the pages to the crimes, you'll see a lot of drug problems. A lot of arrests happen because of drug problems in our area. Why do you think that is? You think people stumbled into their drug problems? Or did they go into their life of drugs because they were trying to numb themselves from the pain of something else? Most of the time, people end up with a drug problem because they want to escape. They want to get away. And so they turn to drugs to numb themselves because they can't find peace anywhere else. Don't we have a message that brings peace? Shouldn't we be sharing it with those who need to hear it? Shouldn't we be open to sharing of ourselves, of what God has done in your life, what God is doing in you? As Paul puts it, we're not perfect. I love how Paul puts it. He says it best. He says, I have not even obtained it myself, but I look forward to the day when I'll be in Christ's perfection. See, our righteousness isn't from us. Our righteousness is from God through Christ Jesus. If you are without sin, if you say you're without sin, John says you are calling God a liar. So we have to admit we are in need of a Savior. Everyone is in need of a Savior. So if everyone needs a Savior, maybe everyone should start sharing how the Savior has transformed their life so they can see how good God has been for them and how good God can be for them. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity to God, for the law of God, it doth not subject itself. For neither is it able, and thus who are in the flesh are not able to please God. Why? Because when you're in the flesh, you are an enemy to God. Because you have put yourself in God's place. You're either living for God or you're living for yourself. You can't do both. God wants you to surrender yourselves to Him and to His will and to His plan for your life. And when you're not able, when you're not willing to please God or seek God's direction in your life, you're not going to please Him. And then verse 9, and ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God do dwell in you. And if anyone hath not the Spirit of Christ, this one is not his. You see, when we come to Jesus, Jesus gives us that mark. We're always worried about the mark of the beast and the concerns of the mark of the beast and all that. In Ezekiel, there's a mark. Jesus tells Ezekiel to go out and to mark those who are looking forward to the restoration of Israel, who haven't given up. In my Ezekiel Daniel class, Doc Smith brought that conversation up. And he says, you know, in the Hebrew, it's an interesting part, is that mark that is placed in the foreheads of those who are looking forward to the restoration of the people, the mark that he is told to put on the foreheads is a cross. Symbolic gesture, maybe. But that's what brought true restoration with God, isn't it? The cross of Calvary. And now that we have received the mark of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit that has been placed in us, if we are not in the Spirit, we don't belong to Him. You can't go halfway. You're either for Christ or you're not. So often we rely on the grace that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. But that grace cost Jesus His life. How much has that grace cost you? I know it's a free gift. We like the idea that it's a free gift. It's a free gift that we rely on so often. But God wants us to understand that He wants us to belong to Him. And belonging to Him means that we're doing what He wants us to do. Not what we think is important to us, but what He wants us to do for Him. And that is to bring glory and honor to the name of Christ. To elevate the name of Christ, to lift up and to show Jesus to those we come in contact with. Because there's no other name in heaven and on earth that anyone can bring for salvation to be available to anyone but the name of Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you have that verse in your mind? And you hold it with confidence? And do you share that name with those you who need to know it? Just do it. Let God work out the details. Let us pray. Heavenly Father,